Yeah. Good morning. David. Oh, we're starting music here. Well, you know, sometimes that technology is great, isn't it? Sometimes. So, anyway, good morning. Pastor Bob Rudebush here. We want to welcome you to First United Methodist Church. If you're a visitor or guest with us, we're especially glad that you're with us. We invite everyone to fill out a Connect card, putting your name, email, or phone number. If you change that, update it. And there's also great ways to be of service where we want to connect with you. And so we invite those, especially we also have a group worshiping with us on live stream this morning. And if you're on live stream, we invite you to just look in the right-hand corner. There's a place for you to click and fill out a connect card as well. And so we hope that everybody will do that for us and also our visitors and guests as we can celebrate that. Also, just a reminder, next Sunday, we'll have our final worship out at Leif Erickson Camp, and then Labor Day weekend, we start back with our three services here, continue our three services here at the church. So look forward to that transition. Today, we also want to remind you that we exist to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and the way that we do that is to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement here in the heart of Sioux Falls. Francis Wagner turned 100 years old last week, and so we're going to so I think it's only appropriate that we sing happy birthday to her. So happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Francis. Happy birthday to you. Very, very good. Now, I know this to be a fact. Francis's maiden name is Blessing. And so she's really been, her and her family have been a blessing to our annual conference and ministry. And so it's good that we can bless you today, Francis. So thank you. So Also, today is a day we're going to bless our children, so we ask all the children to come forward, and we're going to recognize and pray over our children. Now, you know, we're all going to school at different times around here, and so we have kids from all over the city, so we invite all those that are school-age kids to come down here, and we're going to pray over them. So come on down. Cassidy's right here. Here we got a backpack. Sophie's got one. All right. I think we got it going on out at the park, or Leif Erickson as well. So will you join me as we pray over our children and just think about children that you know that need a blessing to go to school. So let's raise our hands and let's pray over our children. Lord, we're just grateful for this day that we celebrate the children and teachers going back to school. We ask your blessing upon our children and their backpacks and all that, the learning and the sharing and the strengthening. Just keep them safe, keep them from those evils that are around our world, and continue to bless them this day. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so if you didn't get up here and would like a little, we have a little tag that we're giving you to remind you about with a little blessing on it. Cassidy, seek Cassidy out, and she'll make sure you get a tag if you want to help another child in our community or in our church. So thank you, Cassidy. All right, so now we're going to share in our video presentation.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're so excited to have you with us for worship today. Here's a few of the opportunities coming up at First. Today is the last day to get tickets for the men's annual season opener, Steak Dinner. Starting at 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday, August 23rd, we invite all men of our church to bring your friends and family for a night of games, fellowship, great food, and an excellent program. Tickets are on sale near the Information Center, and you can pick them up after the service. Fall kickoff weekend is coming soon, and with fall kickoff brings our annual epic block party. Let everyone know that we'll have the best party in town on Saturday, September 9th, from 11 to 3 p.m., with inflatables, music, food, and so much more. And we need you to make it all happen. Stop at the Information Center after the service to get signed up to help make our block party truly epic. We have some simple but effective ways for you to serve here at First. One of those ways is by participating in our Stock the Shelves program. Take one of the orange bags, fill it up using the list inside, and bring it back on September 10th. All the food goes to the food pantry for those in need of food assistance. How will you make a difference today at First? A reminder that in your news and events this morning is an order of worship and a connect card. Wherever you see a cross on your order of worship, please turn your attention to the screens for the liturgy. And when the connect card falls out, fill it out and then place it in the offering basket later in the service. Now, I invite everyone to stand and share in community by greeting those you're worshiping with this morning.
Welcome to the Sunday worship service at First United Methodist Church at 401 South Spring Avenue in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We are glad you are worshiping with us today on our live stream broadcast at 8:30 and 9:45. Today's sermon title is Church and Community. Pastor Bob Rudebush is giving the message today. We hope you find the worship service a blessing for your life this week.
We invite you to remain standing as we share in our unison call to worship and our opening prayer. Will you share with me? We are a community of faith that has been created by the love of God. We are the people who have been set free by the world of forgiveness in Jesus Christ and are therefore a people called to reach out to the sojourners in our midst and in other lands. People whose lives cry out for the warm embrace of fellowship. We have come not to exalt our own goodness, but to praise the holiness of God. We have not come to boast of what we have done, but to proclaim the redeeming work of Jesus Christ by extending the hand of community to refugees, displaced persons, and asylum seekers. With all our being, we will praise God and tell of God's goodness in our acts of kindness and love toward the least among us in our time. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gathered body this day, your body, your living body, as we gather together to give you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for the many opportunities we have to be in ministry, but we also know that we live in a broken world and places where evil and destruction and harm has occurred. We pray that you would use us in our time of worship to be strengthened and to be blessed by the power of your love, that we may reflect that love in our world. So be with us now in our worship together, for we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Please join as we sing our opening hymn 181, Ye Servants of God, followed by Wash, O God, Our Sons and Daughters.
Holy God and hearts we love.
Amen. Please be seated. Before we share in our time of offering, a little bird also told me it's somebody else's birthday. Kelby, our choir director and all-around musical person. Is it your birthday today, Kelby? He's not admitted to it, is he? So we're going to sing happy birthday to Kelby. What the heck, huh?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kelby. Happy birthday to you.
All right, so.
One I didn't have to lead, Bob.
There's other people in the band that's their fault. I'm just a messenger here. So anyway, we appreciate all that Kelby does for our church. He directs our choir and helps with our praise band and does a lot of great things for us musically. So thank you for that. We're grateful for that. We also are grateful. We had a great day yesterday sharing shoes with our children in the neighborhood. We had quite a few children come through and their families. Overall, across the city of Sioux Falls, we gave shoes, about 2,200 shoes to children, and they start the new day of school. And let me tell you, the best picture is when a little six-year-old gets new tennis shoes, and then he runs all over the multi-purpose room, you know, to show how cool they are. It just blesses your heart. So thank you for those who made contributions to that, and we were able to host, and we had a lot of volunteers, and it was a great day. So you can tell that your gifts and your gifts are giving to God. Continues to transform lives, especially our children. We also want to remind you there's some school bags as well as our food pantry bags. Those are ways to give back to God as well, so you can take one of those home. The school bags have little they both have little instructions in them what you should do, so take a bag with you and bring it back next week. It's a good way to be in mission and service together. And so we now ask that the ushers would wait upon us as we give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts to God.
Power enough to save.
Let us join our hearts together as we pray. Jesus, help us to find a way. Help us to understand more fully and more deeply the power of your love in our lives. There are many in our hearts today, O Lord, that we offer to you. There are names and situations, there are joys and heartfelt concerns. In this moment of silence, we speak to you, we share with you, we listen to you. Lord, we pray for Don, who needs your healing touch this day. We pray for others who have experienced great joy of birthdays and anniversaries. We pray for every child that received a pair of shoes and their family. Lord, bless and strengthen them. May this simple act of kindness transform a life. Lord, as the gathered body today, we offer to you our lives in service and in witness. We pray that through each one of us, there is a way that you would help make a difference. Help us to speak your word. Incorporate the power of your Spirit in our lives. Bless our children and bless our teachers as they go back to school. Give wisdom and strength. Lord, in all your goodness, we gather to give you praise and thanksgiving today. So bless us in our worship, for we ask this in Jesus' name, who invited his disciples to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our gift of music today is shared with us by Terry and Fred, so we're grateful that they're going to share with us.
When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can hardly see. And when I'm feeling like I've been let down by my friends and my family, I can hear the rain reminding me, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far away and I'm running out of faith, I see the future that I longed for slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are streaming down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul.
They did a different song at 8:30, so I'm not doing a different sermon. I'm doing the same one, so way to go. That's pretty good. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your gift of music with us today. Last week, my family celebrated my father's 90th birthday. Now, we did it a little early. His birthday is really September 30th, and so we'll do a little gathering there, too, with our family, but this worked out to get all the grandkids, and what was kind of neat is 20 of our 25 cousins, first cousins on my dad's side, showed up, and we hadn't seen some of them for 10 or 15 years, and so that's, I don't know about you know, when you get those kind of family gatherings, there's something very unique and special about those, and so it was a great weekend last weekend. Also, if you can see on the cover of our news and note events, there is a picture of the chapel, and we do have it open. It's going to be completed probably a little after October 1st, and so we'll be looking forward to being able to use that, as well as they'll be starting now underneath us in the round table room next week. They'll be tearing out and repairing, and that'll take till about the 1st of December. And then we'll be moving into the fireplace room as well as the multi-purpose room. So work continues. Next Tuesday night, we have a charge conference, the early part of our church council meeting at 7 o'clock to finish out some financing. At this point, we have received $700,000 of the $1.3 million, which has been a great, great thing. Thank you all who have made your commitment, and we know it's a three-year commitment, and so we need to finance some of the rest of the process over the next 3 years, so we'll be doing that and continually praising God for people's faithfulness and their giving to God through the church. So thank you all, and it's always fun to see progress and the renewal of our chapel and our round table room. We're going to get a different name for that. I mean, round table, come on, you know. I mean, that's kind of nice. I suppose once you say that, it's going to be, well, it's the Joe room, and they'll go, well, you remember, it's the round table room. That's the only way we can remember it. Fireplace room and the multi-purpose room. So let us pray. God, we love being a part of the church. We love this church. We know that part of that love is because of your great love in our lives. And we gather here to worship and to praise you and know of your holiness. But we also gather, O Lord, to hear your call on our lives. Your still small voice that speaks to us in the night. A gifted word that might come from another of encouragement and strength. Or maybe we carry that word today. In whatever form or fashion, O Lord, help us to heed the words, your words for us today. Open our ears and speak to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in our community, Sioux Falls, we have about 150, 175 churches. Now, that's a cool thing. We got a lot of churches, a lot of different ways of how people live out the faith, but in all reality, that is our community of faith, our Christian faith shared in our community. And there was a gentleman who kind of wanted to go investigate all these different churches, and so for 18 weeks, he went to a different church every week. And he wanted to kind of not only find out about their worship and what they believe, but he really wanted to know, how would he be included? How would he be welcomed as a guest or a visitor? And so he set up a criteria, and his criteria was this, that if he got a smile from another worshiper, that would count for 10 points. And so he'd kind of keep track of that. If he got a greeting, if somebody next to him said hello to him or her, or said hello to him, then he would give another 10 points. If they got to the point where they exchanged names, like if the person said, hey, what's your name? I'd like to know your name. He gave him 100 points. For if they invited him back for another time to come, that was 200 points. And if somebody said, oh, by the way, here is another worshiper, and they introduced somebody else, that was worth 1,000 points. And lastly, and I don't think this should be this high, but anyway, if it was an invitation to come and I want you to meet the pastor, that was 2,000 points. I'm thinking that should be low on the totem pole, but anyway. So anyway, he went to these 18 churches, and this is the totals that he came up with. At 11 of the 18 churches, they scored 100 points or less. Okay? Five didn't even make it to 20 of that 18. So what's the conclusion you kind of get from that? Well, you get that, you know, it might be great to have, good belief systems and doctrine and preaching and music, but you know, really the important piece is how we greet those who might be coming as new people in our midst and how we share more than a smile, more than a word. How do we incorporate? He said that he would sit purposely in the front because he was, you know, wanted to be a visitor, and he'd walk all the way to the back and walk all the way back down. He'd ask people, you know, how could he go? Where did he get coffee? If he had coffee, he'd go there. So he did all of those things that would make himself available, and it's interesting what he discovered. You know, we always say, well, we're friendly, but, you know, we're usually friendly to each other. And so we have to kind of broaden our understanding of what does it mean to be the church? And in fact, 2 weeks ago we talked about that. We said the church is really not a building. It is a place where we encounter God. But we also, as we encounter God, some way through the mystery of God, we become the body of Christ, the living body of Jesus Christ. And that was kind of the intent. That was Jesus' idea, is that we would gather, as he says, two or three were gathered, I am in your midst. And in essence, that's what happens when we gather together. We encourage and strengthen one another to be the body of Christ. And so that was what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Last week, Taylor helped us to see what it means to be a particular United Methodist Christian and what our understandings of United Methodism, John Wesley, and how we go about things, similar things like open communion and other kinds of experiences of life, how we connect with those and offer grace to other people. All of that is part of who we are as a part of the church, as the body of Christ. Today we're looking at what does it mean to be a church in a community like Sioux Falls, and not just our church, but we pray and uplift all the churches in our community because we're all in ministry together. And we've been challenged by our community. Now, I've been part of a group called Empower Sioux Falls, and what this group is doing is, and it came out of a study that happened in the school district, where 60% of children in our school district have said that they have no hope for the future. No hope for the future. Now, I've used that statistic before because it just blows my mind. I mean, it just surprises me that there are 60% of our children feel like they have no hope for the future. So the business and leaders of the community have said to the church, all you churches, aren't you in the hope business? Aren't you kind of open to be about that business? Paul talks about this kind of transformation of the church because, as you know, Paul grew up a Jew. Jesus was Jewish. And in fact, there was this belief that the people of Israel were the chosen ones of God, chosen nation of God. But after Jesus came, Paul describes to us in this passage today how that's changed, how God's hidden plan has moved not only to connect and be with the people, the chosen people of faith, the Jews, but now it has expanded to the Gentiles. Now, we know that Paul was a very devout Jew and, in fact, was on a mission to kill have other Christians arrested because he was so upset with what these Christians were doing. But then on that road to Damascus, when he was literally knocked off the horse and he met Jesus face to face, he describes in this passage today that he was the least of all who should be called. And yet, he sensed his call was to go to the Gentiles. Those were those outside of the Jewish faith. Because God has now opened God's love to all God's people, to all nations of the world. So Paul has this commission, this call. Once this holy Jew who did not believe that others could experience God has literally changed his life, and now his whole focus and mission was to plant churches, to plant bodies like ours, the body of Christ. A couple weeks ago, I was at Sages, and we had a great program by two young ladies who are working to help all of us understand the prevention of human trafficking. Now, these two young ladies were very impressive. I mean, I was moved to realize how much time and energy they have educated themselves about our problem in our community. And we have it here in Sioux Falls. We have human trafficking. Another word for that is prostitution. But what happens is many of these predators get online and invite 12 and 14-year-old girls to come who are struggling with their identity and who they are. And they somehow connect with these predators and they're promised these good things, and we know that their lives are then destroyed or harmed. And these two ladies, Polly and Ashley, they've taken upon themselves. They've got a call to let people know about how we prevent this from happening. A call to help not only churches, but make our community aware that this is an issue in our community. I was just moved by their call. You know, they got full-time jobs. They've got families to raise. And yet, they got a call. They got a commission. And they told us the story that really moved us that were there at Sages that day. And I think wherever they go, wherever they speak, They offer this transforming love of God. In essence, I think what Paul says to us and what Polly and Ashley says to us, that each of us are called. We all have a commission and a call. First of all, we can pray. Prayer is a powerful tool that we have as God's people. We can broaden our education, and that's what they'd helped us to do, was broaden our understanding of a very difficult issue in our community. And what is our call as Christians in the face of that? Not only broaden our education and pray, but then we might have to actually do something, whatever it might be, to intersect and to support and to care. In essence, this calling, or this calling in our lives that Paul describes, is that we are to go to the least, the last, and the lost, the people who are separated from God. Now, I figured it out. If we have about 200 churches, and let's say we have about 75 to 100,000 Christians in town, and our town is about 175,000, that leaves, there's about 75,000 people, or maybe 100,000, who have no relationship to a church, a community of faith, the body of Christ. We take it for granted that everybody is there, and my friends, there's a lot of pain in our community. There's a lot of hurt. And we as the churches are to bring hope to our community. And we are one of those. And we're in a place where we can really truly make a difference in touching and caring and offering God's life. Much like we saw with the Samaritan's Feast yesterday, as many other opportunities we have to offer the very best. Adam Hamilton, Church of the Resurrection, was in South Africa, and he went to visit an orphanage that their church supported, and he met Isabel, who is the director. Now, there's about 250 children that come to this, and they have about 35 people on staff, and it's in one of the most toughest neighborhoods in Johannesburg, South Africa. And so when Adam was there, he met Isabella, who is the director, and who has a history of social work in her life. She went to school to be a social worker, and so he just asked her, so what keeps you going in this very difficult place and all these heartbreaking situations? And she said, he said, all of a sudden there were tears coming down her eyes, and she remembered, she said, I remember clearly when I was 14, I heard God's call that I was to help people who were poor. And so I went to school for social work, and somehow I landed up here in Johannesburg, South Africa, at this orphanage. And that's what keeps me motivated every day, is remembering that call. Remembering when God spoke to me and said, this is your call, this is your place to bring about the kingdom of God. We all have a call. We all are commissioned, much like Paul. We have different gifts and abilities and talents, and each of us in our own little places are called by God to speak the words of faith, to share the words of faith, to discuss and talk to others about our encounters with God. Not to sense that we'll be judged, but to be offering what we believe is God's love to a broken and hurting world. Not only is that the way we are called, as Paul is, it's describing to others the saving activity of God in Jesus Christ. Just as we have experienced salvation in our lives, it is just part of the DNA of a Christian to want that for others and to literally do that in our influence, our circles of influence, and the places we are, to literally speak the words and to invite others to experience that saving activity of God. So my friends, when we talk about I love my church, we're not just talking about attending church or just coming to church. We're talking about church as the body of Christ, that each one of us is the living, breathing experience of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we are called to share that word, to live out that word, to be that word in our lifestyle and the ways that we live. Now, are we perfect? No, we're never going to be perfect, but we're called. And God has spoken to each of us in one way or another, and oftentimes we ignore that call. we kind of say, well, no, that's not what God wants me to do. But in reality, if you think about it, as one pastor put it, he said, what won't happen if you don't follow God's call? What won't happen for the kingdom of God if you don't follow God's call? We've been thrilled here on Wednesday nights, starting last fall. We've had children from our neighborhood, their Kid Stop and other programs that we had, who've been coming to Wednesday night church. We have a meal here with them, and there's been about 30 to 40. And we've continued that program through the summer. And we might encourage and see up to 50 children this fall. But one of the things that's causing us a problem is we might have to turn some of them away because we have not enough people to help us touch and care for these children. And so, you know, maybe that's a call for somebody in this room today. All we need is somebody on Wednesday nights for 1 to 3 hours to just be with kids. In fact, a couple of these three kids have said, you know, and they've said it to me too, when are we going to start doing that worship in the sanctuary again? They love coming to worship because many of them don't even know what that is. And that may be a place where we give a gift of hope. But we need people. We need opportunities. But, you know, that's not the only place. There might be a child in your neighborhood that needs a companion or support, somebody. We have two little boys that come and visit with us every day, and we keep connecting with them. Or it might be somebody in your family, a niece or a nephew or a cousin or somebody who needs that gift of word. Maybe that's the call that Jesus is giving to you. Might be a praying for a school. You know, we've been praying last year. I prayed for 16 kids. We prayed for them in our little pencils that we did, and we prayed for them. I prayed for Jonathan and many other children every day. We can pray. We can broaden our education. We can make a difference because we're the body of Christ. Because we are the body of Christ in this community, we are called and commissioned like Paul was called, like Polly and Ashley were called, like Isabella were called. God has called each of us to some way, somehow, be the living body, the church, in the world. Not just when we attend church, but more importantly, when we're the church every day. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we pray that we heed your call. You speak to our hearts and help us not to ignore your call on us today. In some small or special way, there's a name that has come to our minds. For some, it's the call to come and serve through many of the ministries we have here at the church. And for others, it's all of the different groups and places that we can serve in our community. But you have called us, O Lord, to go, to move out of our comfort zone, and to truly heed and speak your words of love and hope. You call us to make a difference in our world. Help us to do that. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. We are going to stand now and share in our hymn of commitment, Rock of Ages, You Will Stand. Rock of Ages, You Will Stand. Oh God. Have each of you here this day, and we especially welcome our guests and visitors. We invite you to stay for a time of coffee and fellowship, and may you go and be the church this week, wherever God has called you to be. Let us share in our sending forth together. May we find the road that leads to life. May we take the turns that brings right relationships. May we pause to accompany others on the way, and may we journey with God through life and long for the horizon and dawn. We go with the gift of God's grace. As the gathered church of God, we are sent forth to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Amen. Our sending song is May You Run and Not Be Weary. It's in our Faith We Sing book, that black hymnal, 2281, May You Run and Not Be Weary.
Thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. First United Methodist Church has three worship services every Sunday: 8:30 traditional service, 9:45 unity service, which is vibrant and multi-generational, and 11 o'clock modern service, which is casual and upbeat. If you want any more information, call 336-3652 or check our website at www.sfumc.org. Thank you for worshiping with us, and may you have a God-filled week.